The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier rehabilitation, physical therapy, and chiropractic facility, located in the heart of Center City, Philadelphia. Here are your hosts, Joe Kraus, Marla Vitarello, and Joe Dougherty.
All right, welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour. I am Joe Dougherty with my lovely co-host, Marla Vitarello.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon,
line.
Good day.
Good day. So, a little more sunshine, though.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So I thought it was going to be sun. You're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So we have a great show planned. We have one of our former Who's Who honorees, Jim Mogul, in the building, as well as Dennis Abrams, both of Lowenthal and Abrams. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
It's
coming.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And so as we launch, first of all, so Dennis is a senior trial partner with the injury firm of Lowenthal and Abrams. Dennis, if you will, since this is your first time on the broadcast, tell us a little bit about yourself and Lowenthal and Abrams.
Lowenthal and Abrams is a multi-purpose law firm. We handle mostly personal injury, which means any type of car accident, slip and fall. We do medical malpractice and have an excellent workers' compensation department chaired by James Mogul.
A certified workers' compensation specialist.
Absolutely. Yes. And I've been practicing law for 35 years, which is a short period of time. We amassed a little bit of knowledge.
As I look at you, Dennis, you must have been practicing since you were 5 years old.
Yeah, I started when I was five, actually.
Yeah.
Did well. So,
good job.
We've been upstairs. We've been in Ballykinlood since 1985, and before that we were in Olney. And we service pretty much the seven counties in southeastern PA and then almost all of New Jersey, and we go a little bit into New York.
And, you handle personal injury type stuff, but
correct.
Also, we're going to talk about obviously third party construction, medical malpractice, which
correct.
Is a big part of your practice. And of course, Jim, workers' compensation specialist, Who's Who honoree in our labor program. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Yes. Thank you.
Great
Good
to have you.
Back.
And we were kind of joking, when we came in here. So Lowenthal and Abrams Law Firm is located in this building, in the 555 building,
mm-hmm.
here right on City Avenue, City and Presidential, which is, literally, what floor?
Fifth. Well, we're the fifth floor, and now we have a part of the fourth floor.
Fifth mm-hmm. and the fourth.
Yes.
And so we're on the second floor, so.
Yeah. That means you can drop in anytime you want.
That's right. That's a fact. And there was not much stress driving down 76.
Wasn't much stress, no. Skooko was great for us.
Mark Levithan, our practice manager at Weinerman Pain and Wellness, is here. Mark, you may have had some stressful driving down 76. and Mark as well. I come from East Falls, right? I can actually see the building, which explains why I'm the last one here. I'm literally 5 minutes away. But anyway,
it's hit or miss, Joe.
I know.
You know.
So Dennis, let's kind of start with you. Let's talk about third party cases. The firm is a unique firm, multi purpose firm. Jim Mogul being the workers' compensation specialist and head of the work comp department at Lowenthal and Abrams. When somebody comes in and they've been injured on a job, and it turns out to be, a third party case, which most of the time they have no idea.
Correct.
How do you guys work that? In other words, you're right there. It's got to be a major benefit to somebody to be able to, have the communication level in one firm. How does a typical communication go back and forth, and how do you coordinate, and what kind of benefit is that to the injured worker?
The workers' comp clients generally go to Jim first. He does an initial triage, and then part of that process is to determine whether there might be a third-party claim. and we can explain what that is. But once he determines there's a third-party claim, then he'll call me or someone else to come down, and we'll talk to the client right there, and we'll start both cases at the same time.
That's great.
So it just it goes off from the start, because the cases are treated differently and they evolve differently, but it's great to have that starting at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're when somebody comes in and Jim, they've been injured on a job, what's a typical situation like? In other words, do you get them at the point of injury, sometimes 6 to 8 weeks down the road, whenever, when they realize that they're not in a friendly situation with the panel doctor, and they can't figure out why, because they've been working for the employer for 20 years. What is the typical mindset of an injured worker, in that type of situation?
Well, some people, unfortunately, don't come until much later in the process. And by then, a lot of things have happened that are not so good for them. Because as you said, when people have worked for an employer for a long time and are good workers, they expect that when they get injured at work that the employer is going to treat them well and properly. And that rarely, unfortunately, happens. The goal of the injured worker is to get treatment and get better. The goal of the employer is to get them back to work as quickly as possible and make the treatment as inexpensive as possible. So the goals are not the same. If somebody comes in relatively early in the process, then that's a very good idea, because then we can tell them what's true and what's not true. It's amazing to me when people come in and they tell me the things that they were told by the employer with a straight face as to what the law is, and then I tell them that's absolutely positively not the law. And employers, unfortunately, do lie to people, and maybe it's their own ignorance and they don't know, or maybe they're just intentionally lying, but in any event, they don't tell them what the truth is about the law, and then we try to straighten that out and explain to them what's true and what's not true. And some people, quite frankly, are just afraid of getting lawyers. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, is my employer going to fire me now because I hired you as my lawyer?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it. Yep.
And then I say to them, well, the employer and the insurance company have lawyers. They have whole law firms that they can call and get to work right away. So why can't you have a lawyer? You know, it's just fair.
Jim, do you find that patients that were hurt at work, they have an open claim, do you find that you receive those clients later down the road because everything's fine and everything's good and paid for?
Yeah, that's generally the case. Obviously, it's the people that are not getting workers' comp that usually come in sooner. But I tell people, even if you have an open claim and everything's fine, you should hire a lawyer as soon as possible. A lawyer won't take a fee unless he has to go to court to save your benefits. So, in effect, you're getting a lawyer without payment, free lawyer in a sense. But,
sure.
But that's okay, because eventually every case is going to go into litigation. I mean, in my years since 1985, I haven't seen any case that did not eventually end up in court.
Right, open initially.
Exactly. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, you talk about the employers that are scared. I mean, employees that are scared to death, and some of them have worked 15, 20 years at a workplace. Mm-hmm. And they just assume it, that they're going to get the same type of loyalty back. And it could be shattering to that individual and confusing. And even when you talk about the employers and sometimes and the panel docs and the insurance companies, and the deception is unprecedented, but I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to some people who have gotten commitments from the actual employer that they're going to honor the case, and then but the panel physician or the insurance company denies it.
Right.
How can that happen?
Happens all the time, unfortunately, because people don't know the law and they trust that the employer is going to tell them the truth. The most common problem is that employers say, if you get hurt at work, you have to go to a particular doctor, and they tell them exactly where to go, and people believe that. Well, that's not what the law says. The law says that if the employer wants to control your treatment for the first 90 days, they have to give you a written list of doctors to go to, and it has to be at least 6 different doctors on the list. But nobody knows that. And so they think they're supposed to go to that doctor. And unfortunately, the doctors that the employers usually send them to are not the best doctors. And not only aren't they the best doctors, but their goal is to rush them back to work as quick as possible.
Exactly. Well, and we're going to address the medical. That's a big part of the problem with these panel physicians and the workers' compensation providers. After the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation. For us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. I am Joe Dougherty with my lovely co-host, Marla Vittorella.
Thank you. That never gets old, you know, every time I tell you that. It's so nice of you.
Well, it feels great. It does. Nothing against Joe Krause. I love Joe Krause, and he's going to be back in the studio soon. And
I can't wait to see him.
He's awesome with putting the interviews together and all that stuff. But I will tell you, I can't say my lovely co-host, Joe Krause. I don't mean anything by that, Joe. Get well soon. Had both of his knees scoped. Or not scoped. replaced. And so we're talking to Dennis Abrams and Jim Mogul of Wellenthal Abrams Law Firm here in Bell Kinwood. And conversation we're talking about, you know, we're when you're talking about when you're an injured worker, you know, you often have to deal with the panel doctors, and sometimes you don't have to, but you don't know it, and that's an issue, because that's why we always encourage our injured workers in our labor program to get consultation immediately, so you understand what's, you know, what you're up against and your rights and responsibilities. But a lot of that is involved in the medical, and there's a lot of deception going on. And Jim brought up something very interesting that a lot of workers' compensation patients have to deal with on a daily basis. You want to talk about that, Jim?
Yeah, it's the nurse case managers. They are nurses, and they are knowledgeable, and they're very friendly and polite usually, and they make themselves available to the injured worker, and in a sense, the injured worker thinks they're working for him or her, and they give that impression. So they tell them everything, and they follow their advice. Unfortunately, the nurse case managers, it's deception. They're not working for the injured worker. They're working for the employer, the insurance company. And their goal is either to make the treatment as short and inexpensive as possible, to not order diagnostic tests, and to return them to work as quickly as possible. And that's not the goal of the injured worker. The goal of the injured worker is to feel better and get better. So it's a real situation where you've got to be very, I tell my clients to be very, very careful, these nurse case managers. Plus,
well, the clients have the right to refuse to have absolutely the nurse case manager, because from my experience, they try to, you know, accompany them to,
their
attorney visits.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. And they'll tell them, sometimes they'll tell people, I have a right to be in your doctor's appointments with
you. Does
them.
That they change?
Don't. And they
don't.
Okay.
No.
And does that demeanor, that, that type of, you know, wanting to, you know, be there at every appointment and try to dominate, you know, on their behalf, on the insurance company's behalf. Does that change once they get an attorney?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I do is tell the nurse case managers they're not to have contact with my client, and they're not to come into the appointments with the client. I can't stop the nurse case manager from showing up at the doctor's office, but I can tell my client not to talk to them, and I can tell my client not to, you know, let them come into the appointment with them. And the client can also say to the doctor, because a lot of doctors don't know, he can say to the doctor, look, this woman, she's nice and she's pleasant and she's knowledgeable, but she's not on my side. So please, you know, don't talk to her and tell her private things and all.
And I imagine it's got to be foreign. Like, in other words, you're an injured worker, you're a nice person, you don't want to act like you got anything
right
to hide, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
And why wouldn't you let that person be in there? Well, I've heard some kind of crazy horror stories that, you know, that they try to befriend individuals and they're attractive, mm-hmm, they're cunning,
oh, yeah,
you know, people.
Absolutely.
And next thing you know, you have yourself somebody, you know, who is not, clearly not your friend. And really,
nurses are nasty people, Joe.
No, you're a nurse.
They're just nasty,
if they were all
nasty
like you,
people.
If they were all
they're
like
evil.
You, Marla, there would be no need for attorneys in representing, because everybody would be getting treated right. But
think of that, though. Do we have a nurse for our regular medical care? No. We don't have a nurse that follows us around and says, you know, from our medical commercial plan,
sure,
when do they discharge? So that should be a red flag to any client or any patient that sees, you know, this person coming in, that's an issue.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, most workers are intimidated by a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have someone who's not a doctor, a
right
nurse who says, you know, I'm going to go in with you and you can confide in me, they
right
become like the edge.
Right.
And so they confide in them and they become friends and they
right
can bond with them, whereas
yes
the doctor's intimidating.
They're never going to have that relationship.
The nurse is not, right. And
mm-hmm
that's a deception too, because then they really begin to trust them and they realize after they come to us that
right
they've been trusting the wrong person.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what, Jim, what don't the patients know when they come to you? Like, first of all, the panel requirement. I'm throwing things at you, but, you know, they likely don't know, you know, tell me about, do most of them know about those requirements from the panel, and also even what a third-party case is?
Well, they don't know what a third-party case is, and they don't know what the difference between workers' compensation and third-party cases is. And they don't know that. In effect, they have two cases. One is to get benefits from the employer's workers' comp insurance company. That's workers' compensation. And then if they have a third-party case, then that's a personal injury case against someone other than your employer, because you can't sue your employer for negligence, even if the employer was negligent. Workers' comp is limited to wage loss benefits and medical benefits, but if somebody other than your employer is responsible for your injury, then you can bring a lawsuit against that other entity, and then you can get pain and suffering and other things.
So when they come to the office and you discover, what's the dynamic between Dennis and yourself once you realize that there's, okay, this is, you know, the individual was carrying, you know, a beam or something like that, or you know, whatever, a ladder, and there's a hole that they fell in, but it was dug by another employer. What's the process, and then how do you coordinate from there?
Well, I'm usually the one that sees them first, because sure, the workers' comp is usually the more immediate problem.
Exactly.
But if there is a third-party case there, then I call Dennis if he's available, or one of the other personal injury attorneys, and they come right down and talk to them. I mean, we're all in the same office.
It's a great service.
Yeah, we're all right there in the same office. So I get one of the personal injuries attorneys right there to talk to them, interview them, and see if there is a third-party case and pursue that. And then for the medical part of it, it's great because it's all the same medical. See, if a person goes to us for workers' compensation and some other firm for personal injury, which does happen sometimes, it's always a problem because
the
right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, and there are coordinated things that need to be done between the two cases. And if you're not in the same firm, that can be a problem.
Also, in some cases, you know, when you know, so you run the workers' compensation department at Lowenthal Abrams, and you know, you're dealing with a situation where, you know, you're a very efficient, timely, meticulous person.
Right.
If I imagine that not only is it a benefit when you have professionals like Dennis and the personal injury department at the firm, but could be a nightmare when you're dealing with some, you know, friend of the family that this particular individual has, and you know, the anxiety that the actual patient gets.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean that's, I mean, the natural anxiety. Now you have anxiety because you have somebody else potentially screwing the entire case up.
Absolutely.
Dennis, let's take it to your side. You just got the case. I'm assuming at this point that the injured worker is head spinning, or her head can be spinning a little bit, because now, but in dealing with the insurance provider at that point, tell me how that goes. Because he's standing right next to you. They're not cooperating with you. And they're going.
It becomes
like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario.
It becomes a very different dynamic. One of the first thing we do when Jim has identified a case where there's a third-party aspect to it, we do a lot of investigation. We have to figure out who did what wrong. What were they doing there? What didn't they do? What should they have done? And when a patient or a client comes in 6 months after the fact, most of that's already gone. So we have to go back and recreate everything, do as much intensive work as we can. And unfortunately, we need the cooperation of the employer and the insurance carrier behind the employer. So the way we do that is I'll send a letter to them and say, you know, Tom Smith came in and he's got a workers' comp claim, but we've also determined he has a third-party claim. Now, employers know and the insurance carriers know that when I file a lawsuit and I settle a lawsuit, a third-party claim, the employer is going to get back a portion of all the benefits they paid out. The legal term for that is subrogation, but there is a contractual right. The employee can't be paid twice for the same benefit or the same loss. So I go to the employer and the insurance carrier and say, you know, if you work with me, even though you're paying all these benefits out, at the end of my case, you're going to get a substantial portion of that back. And so they become my friend, where at the same time, they're Jim's enemy.
I'm going to be hypothetical about that one. Dennis, listen, here's all of our information. Please don't give it to Jim.
Well, I'm looking for different information in some respects. You know, I'm looking to see if some third party, not you, Mr. Employer, but somebody else, hurt your employee, hurt my client. So to some extent, we're okay. But you're right. At some point in time, when I get into how the injury occurred and how serious the injury is, then they realize that our goal is very much the same, because we really want to investigate the injury. And there are times when if there's a panel situation or an employee doctor situation, in a third party case, I can hire any doctor I want to evaluate the client. I can go and get any specialist I want for my case. And that helps us.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And that's the thing. Where I was, Jim, let's talk about the medical for a second. The misnomers, okay, that what the workers' compensation panel or provider and panel doctor don't want you to know.
Everything.
Right. I mean, you know, so we in labor started our own providers network. It's a medical providers network. It's actually how we where I met Barnum and Pain and Wellness, who are one of our providers. And I can honestly tell you from the top of the mountain, man, I'm not joking when I say it, people have been getting injured for 100 years. I can tell you that 99.99% of the labor leaders literally don't, you know, we're not aware of the fact that you can go to see any doctor you want during it. You can get a second opinion. They probably, I'm not going to say 100%, but they don't understand the panel requirements because, you know, they're not that deep into it. I'm stating the same for me. I'm not a labor leader, but I'm an advocate, and all that information was unbelievably new. Why is it important? Why is it important for an injured worker to be able to go see and get an exam and potentially treat? You know, so they say in the first 90 days, you got to go see the panel doctor. A, that's not always true, and B, even if it is true, why is it important for an injured worker to be able to go see their own doctor?
Well, it's not always true. In order for the employer to control your treatment for the first 90 days, they have to have a written list of at least 6 different doctors, and they have to provide it to you as soon as you report the injury. They can't mail it to you 2 weeks later, which happens a lot of times. And also, the panel lists may just be a list of different occupational medicine places, but the person may need to see an orthopedist or a neurologist. Well, if there's nobody on the list, then there's nobody for them to go to. Now, I take the position then they can go to anybody they want, because the law doesn't say you can be denied treatment for 90 days. It just says if treatment's made available according to the rules, then you go to those doctors for the first 90 days if you want the insurance company to pay for it. I mean, the worst that happens, if they did have a valid list and you chose somebody else to go to, is they just wouldn't have to pay your bills for the first 90 days. It's not like you lose your case. It's not like the doctors can't testify or write reports. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times what happens is the places where they go, these occupational medicine places, occupational health, they have different names for them.
You mean the panel?
The
right.
Panel. Right. They are rushed. They do a very cursory interview. They don't write down all the body parts. You may have hurt your back and your neck and your shoulders, and they're just going to write down your back.
Jim, don't they have to sign at the time of the employment, too, besides the time of injury?
Yeah.
So for them to be bound there, no matter what,
right?
That's the first 90 days. But they also have a right to a second opinion.
Correct.
So if they went to that orthopod that's on their list and they don't like them, they could get out of that.
Well, yes, because it doesn't say – or if the panel won't send them to the orthopod,
mm-hmm.
or if they won't order an MRI, that's denying somebody treatment.
Sure. Yeah.
And the law doesn't say you can deny people treatment.
Yeah. You know, and so with our program, and it's actually how we really got involved, we make sure at the point of injury an individual gets their exam, their documentation, their diagnosis, because – from a doctor that cares about them,
right.
Okay, from a doctor that, and there's no out-of-pocket cost. Let me tell you something. When we got this information, when we understood that the network of medical providers out there, like a Wyndham and Payne, want us to plug our sponsor because they sponsor our labor show and they sponsor this, who's not charging out of, they're invoicing the workers' comp carrier. So, there's no out-of-pocket cost for that either. The last thing on the planet the panel provider wants to tell the injured worker, is they want them to sign something not crazy. You know, how many times we got that call? They want us to sign this. Or the nice nurse that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Once I've gotten calls, I have to – I have to sign this. The nurse is saying it. I'm at the Eagles game, and I'm in touch with the returnee on the phone, who's also there. I can't hear them. But my point is, you know, this is what they have to deal with when you're talking about the, you know, the panel provider. When we found out that our providers were willing to give the diagnosis, treat and do those things from the point of injury, just in case 60. What's the percentage of individuals that get denied or disputed their workers' comp benefits before they get better?
Oh, it's over 50%. It's probably more like 75%.
Exactly. That's what you know. We say 60 to 80 because individuals like yourself have said the same thing, and it's just appalling. Right. So
it's amazing that they try to control the medical right up front. We know when you have an injury, whether it's soft tissue, in 90 days you're remarkably better. So that's why the insurance company has that benchmark, and they've been trying to move that to 180 days.
The interesting thing is that you know these people. All right, we got to go to a break. We're going to continue this conversation on the Pain and Wellness Hour after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Everybody, let's go, let's go, ho, ho! Welcome everyone to West High School Spring Fling! Hey, where we at, where we at?
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching at my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions. I slept good. I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Dave Okarnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Wellness Hour. I'm Joe Dockery with my lovely co-host, Mara Vitarello.
Hello.
Brought to you by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. We're talking to Dennis Abrams and Jim Mogul of Lowenthal Abrams, and we're talking, you know, medical and as related to workers' compensation and work injury jobs and the fight that individuals are up against and why, you know, the medical providers that are available to injured workers that they often don't know about. And I can tell you that at 100% clip, it's literally still in our labor movement. You would probably find a brain surgeon walking on, you know, Market Street before you could find, you know, anybody that really understands the workers' compensation. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell injured workers, you don't have to ask the panel doctor for permission to go get a second opinion. You mentioned the lies and the deception. It runs rampant. How come we can't persecute and prosecute these people? Let's put them on the cover of the Daily News from the highest website on Google. This is what this guy. I mean, I got a story after story. I can't even imagine what you have, Jim. Why can't we press charges on these people? I mean, why can't, you know, that's got to be some kind of negligence.
Unfair treatment.
Well,
right.
They're not doing anything. I don't think they're doing anything illegal. They're being very smart.
We also got the med mail.
Yeah, but it's really their word against the patient's word, you know, or the worker's word. And it's just a conversation that's held in an office. So it's like, he said this, oh, no, I didn't, you know. And rarely do you find anything in writing saying you can't do this, you can't do that, because they know they would be in trouble that way.
No, when we deal with – so, you know, you have a wide variety of specialties, and, you know, the third-party case is a big part of that. And we talked about the importance of, you know, the ability to coordinate that at one firm so that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, and you got quality attorneys handling both sides. Let's talk about medical malpractice. How rampant is that? In other words, you know, how often does that happen?
It happens very often. There are two types of medical malpractice. One is when an employee is kind of ready to go back to work, or he visits a doctor to determine whether he's ready to go back to work. An examination occurs and the employee is injured by the doctor doing the exam. It used to be that the employee had no recourse, couldn't file a claim against the doctor because there was no doctor-patient relationship between the two of them. The employer hires the doctor. The employee has to show up. The doctor performs examination, and if the employee was injured during the exam, the law said you couldn't do anything about it. We had a case about 15 years ago where an employee had a hip replacement. He got better, was ready to go back to work. He goes into the defense medical examination where the doctor actually takes his leg and pushes it too far, and the employee kind of limped out of the room. The next day he couldn't get out of bed, and the doctor actually refractured his hip.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, they push it to that threshold.
Right.
They want to see that.
They want to see that, and it's just almost like a boomerang effect, right. You know. Is it going to come back?
Yeah.
So we filed, and this was in the middle of the state. We filed a claim, and the defense attorney filed an initial objection to our claim, and we litigated whether or not the patient had a relationship with the doctor such that the patient could sue the doctor for malpractice, and we won. And that was really excellent, because now if in that setting where someone is – it's a one-time visit, and that happens very often. If that person is injured, you can go after that doctor and sue that doctor. And it does happen often, because you've got someone who's ready to go back to work, a doctor who's maybe familiar with the patient or file for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. does a very difficult, very strong and strenuous exam, mm-hmm. and the patient comes out of there feeling like they've been injured again, and a lot of times they are. It's amazing.
And when you talk about that, what about – so – you have two doctors, your own doctor. You're getting a absolute You know, somebody who cares about your health, you get a diagnosis. This is just mind-boggling to me, right? You get a diagnosis from a good doctor. Okay? The thing is, okay, you're going for your, you know,
right.
Before the judge, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got another individual saying they're not hurt. Okay, now, there's a stigma sometimes on injured workers, okay? But I can honestly tell you this. From in our line of work, 99.9%, and I'm sure you see this all the time, you know, they just want to get better, they want to go back to work, and they want to be able to provide for their families.
Sure, absolutely, okay? Absolutely.
Well, so there's a stigma on them sometimes. Oh, yeah, you got injured on the job. No one wants to admit it, especially long-time construction workers. That's why they'll do the favor and be like, you know what, I pulled my back out, or I injured my knee, but I'm not going to say anything. God willing, God forbid they wait the actual 120 days to report it, if you actually wait two. But the point is, you're going before that judge, and now you have two reports. One is a documented report. I'm just picking at this. Maybe I'll uncover something where you guys will be like, wow, my God, he just did it.
Genius.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
I changed. We revamped workers' comp. We know. But my point is, and then you got a panel doctor who's going, there's no documentation, very little documentation to support a minor diagnosis, and you have another one. Isn't it, you know, and when you look at the, besides the fact that, you know, there's a second opinion that supports their actual injuries, can't a judge be looking at that going, oh, this guy on the right did very little.
Right.
You know what I mean? Isn't it? I hate this. I mean, isn't it fraudulent? Isn't it some kind of medical malpractice there?
Look, they're doctors who are hired by the comp carrier to examine a patient. We know, we hear the doctor's name. I can tell you what that doctor is going to say about the patient before he writes his report.
Right.
The reports are just like cookie cutter. They're all the same. Right. Oh, he had a strain and sprain. He should have gotten better. He isn't better. And they kind of take a dig at the employee like, gee whiz, he should be a lot better. But we couldn't find anything objectively wrong with him, and therefore he's fit and ready to go back to work.
Well, it's also the same guys that they say on the claimant side that are overused. You know, the same names that you hear not right. to use this particular specialist. Because
I get a kick out of that, though.
They can do it on the defense side.
Here we go. Ready for this one? You're on the radar.
Yeah.
Buddy, your entire industry on your side of the fence is on my radar.
Right.
I don't want to hear I'm on your radar because we're patient. Friendly, and we care about the actual individual.
Right.
I look at it, and I'm just being sarcastic here, you know, but I'm just saying I look at it like in many cases, and Jim, I don't know how you feel, but, you know, when these individuals – I remember when we launched our Injured Workers Network, we thought, no, we don't have attorneys in our network. You know, whoever the union endorses and done a good job for their members, or, you know, if they need one down the road. It was like my second day of calls. And this guy's calling me about a form that this nurse is making him sign, right? And I'm like, wait a second, I don't know what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. They need to return. I'm an advocate. I'm not an attorney. But they need their attorney, literally the first second, because they're walking into, in my opinion, if there's anything fraudulent, it's the system that these individual injured workers are going in. And by the time you get to them, it must be like a broken record. You're looking at them like, oh, my God, another abused individual.
Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is they can be abused in any case. They can be taken advantage of in any case. And when you have that as a known, you need a lawyer right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one person who's going to prevent that abuse is going to be a lawyer.
Right.
And I think, and you said earlier before, well, I just, when you're talking about the, and I've always wondered why medical malpractice, you know, with some of the disputes with these individuals, even if they didn't hurt them in that exam, okay, that it's got to be some kind of crime. I don't want to get too crazy, but a sin against, you know, humanity,
right.
That this guy can actually shave in the mirror and look at himself after doing what he's done.
What's the significance of the relationship versus not? I mean, from a medical perspective, I can understand. Obviously, you know the patient better, you know the limitations, et cetera. But an injury is an injury. If it's, you know, their job is to do no harm.
Right.
Well, there's more
so
to involve. But a slick defense doctor, independent medical examination doctor, mm-hmm. realizing there's an injury and they can't say there's not, then he'll look for another excuse for it other than the work accident. It's due to aging. It's due to degeneration. It's due to something that happened 20 years ago.
Right.
They're very good at doing that. So, I mean, sometimes they have to admit that the person's got a, an injury, a problem. They can't say they're fine. So then their next level is to say, well, it's not due to the work.
It was there before.
And they're very good at that.
Sometimes you probably can't wait to get somebody on a stand. You're looking at the oh, I can't wait. I'm not even eating breakfast this morning. I'm going to eat this guy. What are the key elements to a med mal?
Well, a med mal, you really have to look to determine what the condition of the patient was before the patient was seen by the doctor. And then you can analyze what the physician should have done versus what the physician did. A lot of the cases we have in workers' comp where it's medical malpractice, the physician should have sent the patient for an imaging study of some type, a CT scan, an MRI, and doesn't. Mm-hmm. So at that point, when they could have gotten an early image, let's say it's a shoulder, some shoulder problem, a CT would have shown some significant tears, a labrum is torn, something that needed surgery right away, an imaging study would show that. They don't order the study. They'll send them the physical therapy, or they'll say, oh, just take it easy and put them on light duty. 2 months later, the muscles that used to be attached are dying and
that's
atrophying.
Right, right.
And then you have a shoulder that is almost beyond repair.
Is that medical malpractice?
That's absolute medical malpractice.
Oh,
because they decided we don't need an imaging study. And what's the driving force of that? We don't want to pay for an imaging study.
Right.
A regular doctor will say, Joe, you got a problem. I want you to go down. I want you to get an MRI and let me see what's going on in your shoulder. That's a doctor who wants you to get better, wants to figure out what's wrong with you.
Has your best interests.
That's not the same dynamic.
All right, we're going to have more after the break with Dennis Abrams and Jim Mogul.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
The thing is, I would never give blood before. You know, before this happened to me, I thought of every excuse in the book, but I'm so thankful that everybody didn't think the way I did, or I would have died.
Like so many new mothers, Noelle needed blood during the birth of her son. Thanks to the American Red Cross and a donor like you, it was there. One donation, just an hour of your time, can help save up to 3 lives. Please sign up to give now at redcrossblood.org.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, matchingdonors.com.
Somebody. All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. We're talking to Jim Mogul and Dennis Abrams of Lowenthal Abrams, and we're a fascinating conversation about you know, the process, and we're talking about potential third-party cases and medical malpractice. Is it possible, Dennis, to have a workers' compensation third-party medical malpractice? Have you ever seen it?
Oh yeah, we have them. We do them.
And that, and in that type of case, somebody gets injured on the job, or how would that work?
Somebody gets injured on the job, and there's a misdiagnosis, an improper diagnosis. Somebody gets injured on the job, and there's a failure to send them for a test that's needed to determine what's wrong with them. And then the longer the delay, whatever the injury is, it progressively gets worse. If they send the person back to work injured, it makes it even that much worse. So it's a failure to diagnose or a failure to take care of the injury. Those are the primary two.
How many times, you know, because this stuff can go by in a blink of an eye. And if somebody's scared and they're afraid to lose their job, how many times? It's got to happen at least periodically where somebody, you know, who maybe it's their own fault because they're afraid and they're afraid to lose their job. And I can tell you this, and I don't want to say it's their fault, but so in our labor community, we have different types of unions. You know, so I come from the Iron Workers Union. We have 250 signatory contractors. So if that contractor looks at me and says, well, I see you messed your elbow up or your shoulder, but if you go out, and I know we wouldn't say it directly, but you know, we're going to fire you. My answer would be, you know, don't let the door hit you in the butt, buddy. I'm out of here. So, however, you work for a single employer union, like say a Scepter or something like that. And I'm just giving an example. Now you got somebody who's scared. That's their entire career. So they may make a decision based on that. How often do you see that where they may have, like when it comes to, and I'm giving, you know, again, I'm not trying to point out SEPTA, but you get a bus driver who gets hit by and it's an MVA type situation. They got a whole slew of things wrong and they're afraid to do anything about it.
Yeah, I see that a lot. Unfortunately, people do get scared about that. What happens a lot of times, though, if somebody has a very serious injury, they're not going to go back to work there anyway. And I have to explain that to them and convince them of that. And so even if they lose their job because of that, they still got to be paid workers' comp benefits. I mean, they're two separate things. So
how long can workers' compensation benefits get paid?
Theoretically, forever.
Really?
I mean, there are plenty of ways for an insurance company to stop paying them and to limit the payment. But in theory, there is no time limit as to how long. Once they're on a partial workers' comp, then it's 500 weeks, meaning that if they're working partially and they're on a partial workers' comp because they have a partial work
week, that's
500 weeks. But if it's total workers' comp, what we call total disability, I mean, theoretically, it can last forever.
Is partial the same as the light duty for the client?
No. Partial is when somebody – it's a wage loss system, mm-hmm. not an injury system.
Okay.
That's the first thing to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, let's say, is only working 20 hours a week instead of 40 hours a week and is only getting $10 an hour instead of $15 an hour, then workers' comp pays two-thirds of the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not the full difference, but two-thirds of the difference.
Right.
And that's called a partial workers' comp. Now, that can only go for 500 weeks. But if they're getting their full workers' comp, there's no
limit to the time.
Limit. The important thing to remember, the most important thing to remember about workers' comp is it's not an injury system. Dennis, in the personal injury field, His is an injury system. The worse the injury, the more
pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering, right. And the more the case is worth and the more value. In the workers' comp setting, it's not the injury that's important. It's the wage loss. So you could have a terrible injury, but if you're not losing wages, then your case is you're not getting workers' compensation benefits.
Sure. How much time we have, Brent? 2 minutes? Okay. Contact information at Lowenthal Abrams.
Lowenthal and Abrams, our phone number is 610-667-7511.
And when somebody retains either of you gentlemen, any upfront costs?
No upfront costs. Our cases are always done on a contingent fee basis, which means you pay us if and only if and when we get money for you. We cover all the costs, all the expenses up front.
Mauro Vitarello, the contact information for Weinemann Pain and Wellness, our sponsor?
Yes, Weinemann Pain and Wellness, located on 100 South Broad Street. We are in the land title building on the 18th floor. Phone number is 215-988-9503. Come see us.
And here's the thing. We try to coordinate and provide information for individuals out there that they may not know they have. And, you know, it's a service I think that's so vitally important and so missing that literally speaking, even today, I had a meeting with somebody the other day and we're about something else, and they were asking me about, you know, we were talking about workers' comp. Long time union official. Was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, yeah, you know, these guys that are getting hurt on our jobs, well, they're walking into a system that is so brutal that it's unprecedented. And so we're doing a presentation at the Ironworkers Hall on Saturday, and you're going to see jaws drop. We're all going to be there, and it's going to be like, oh, my God. And so I want to thank you guys.
Thank you.
For what you provide for injured workers and injury
thank
victims. And certainly, you know, we hope everybody learned something today, because, you know, when you're injured and you're scared, there has to be help out there. And it's reassuring to know, obviously, that, you know, individuals like yourself are out there helping people. I'm Joe Doherty for my co-host, Marta Vitarello, for our sponsor, Weinemann Pain and Wellness. For Jim Bogle and Dennis Abrams, I'm Joe Doherty. You've been listening to the Pain and Wellness Hour.
Thank you.